Blog Talk Radio.
You can't have my pride.
To let Satan know this means war. And brothers and sisters, God called us. And it's God who tells us we're at war. Because he says, now, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Forget that. Throw all that stuff out the window. But against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where our fight is at. We're not to war against flesh. That's where Satan's arena at. That's where he want to operate at. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We are truly happy to have each and every one of you all for this review. Hallelujah. We're talking about we're going to have a word of prayer first, and then after we have this word of prayer, I'm just believing God that he's going to open up some minds, some ears, and the main subject this week is about Christ is so much better than the angels. And angels there is plural. There's a lot of them, all kinds, but he is greater than all of them. As he have by inheritance and obtained a more excellent name than they. So their spirits right now need to know that Christ is better than that. Christ is better than what the enemy have led you to believe. We'll have a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We come because your word said man should always pray and not faint. I thank you, Father God, for your word, first of all, because it's in your word we learn who we are and whose we are. It is in your word, Father God, that we learn that the word declare and decree that we are your children. So we thank you, Father God, for the word and teaching us who we are and what we are. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, that we can identify with your word. And whatever your word says, what we are. Your word decree and declare that we've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Your word decree and declare that we've been given a spirit of power, love, self-discipline, a right to come boldly before the throne to find mercy and grace in times of need. A right to come boldly before the throne. We've been given an excellent, great, and precious promise by God, which I am a partaker of his divine nature. So I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that we walk by the Spirit, your Spirit. I thank you, Father God, that we are the light of you, Father God. And just as Matthew 5:14 decree and declare that we are the light of God. And we are a light for God. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I thank you, Father God, that we are new creatures now because we're in Christ. And we're content with being in the Lord. I thank you, Father God, that we're free to operate in you according to Romans 6:18. I thank you, Father God, for we are becoming lively stone, living stone, and being built up to a spiritual house. I thank you. Thank you, Father God, that we can decree it and declare that we no longer live after the flesh, but we live after the Spirit of God. And I thank you for it and decree it and declare it. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask you to bless those that are listening by way of internet and those that are on the broadcast. We ask that their minds be open to truth today like never ever before. And then, Father God, we just ask you that those that will hear this truth, Father God, that they'll come to the true knowledge of it. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Everybody agree with this prayer, said amen and amen. Well, I'm going to point out some things today when we get into this review. But let me go ahead on and say right off the bat, this is about Christ's ministry. It's about we telling people what Christ said we are and who we are. This is not about the devil. So, but you need to understand that there are spirits out here. There are angels out here. And these angels, some of them are called fallen angels. They are of the devil. But the Bible says, being made so much better than the angels. He has had an inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. So Christ is so much better to whatever you're dealing with. No, Christ is so much better. He's so much bigger. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to hopefully get into the review, some things that we're going to talk about in the review. You all may have your own list. I have my own list. My list has to do with what we talked about this week. We want to talk about knowing Satan, knowing Lucifer, knowing his origin. And we want to know, let you know that he's no longer Lucifer to us. There was a time he was Lucifer. That was when he was perfect. So if you try to cast out a perfect Lucifer, it doesn't work, brothers and sisters, because he's no longer Lucifer. Well, you learned a little bit about Lucifer, and then I cast out Lucifer. Wait a minute. How you going to cast out Lucifer when Lucifer was the cherubim angel of God that was in heaven on the mountain? Now, how you going to cast him out? He was on the top of the spiritual mountain. So this kind of stuff is important because people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You don't want to be ignorant when it comes to this kind of stuff. You don't want to be ignorant when it comes to the warfare. I said something the other day, and I'm going to stand by it, and that is in a sports arena. You got two teams. It's good to know what this your opposition, your opponent, can do to you. You need to know their strength and their weakness, and that helps you to win the battle because you know this stuff. Not knowing this stuff, for instance, If you didn't know they had somebody real speedy, that once they get past the line of scrimmage, they're going to score a touchdown. Not knowing that, you don't defend that. Not knowing that they have a quarterback with a rifle arm, and that you think, oh, that man can't throw that ball 40, 50 yards. And ultimately, you lose the battle. So it's important that we know our enemy's strengths. And God wants us to know his strengths and his weakness. So we're going to deal with some of that. We're going to deal with fallen angels. Satan and his fallen angels, I should say. And we may read Genesis 3, 1 through 19. And another thing we're going to touch on is the fact that Satan deceived the whole world. That's including all of us at some point in time. But once you get in Christ, it's a totally different. And we're probably going to talk about some of the deceptions that Satan have put forth. Certain things that we must remember about his deception. Because he is a deceiver. He is a deceiver. And you have to know this. So we're going to talk about that. And then we want to talk about he's great. But we're going to expose his greatness so that that puts you at an advantage rather than a disadvantage. But you not know his greatness could put you in a real disadvantage. But when you know his advantage, and you can tell me all day long, well, God is going to protect me. But sister, stop using, that's a cop-out, number one. Of course God is going to protect you. But what that got to do with when God done told you, you have to fight. Then you go, oh, well, God's going to fight for me. No, he needs you to be strong. The place you're going to when you leave planet Earth, you're going to need to be strong in the power of the Lord, in his might. Remember Ephesians 6? You have to put on the whole armor of God, not to let God do it. Put on his armor, and you're able to fight. You don't need God to fight for you. You need to put on his armor. That's why Jesus told the disciples, oh, you're a little faith. They was upset because the wind was blowing. And the water was going everywhere. And they felt like they was about to drown. And Jesus was down there asleep. There was, Master, care not that we perish. He said, oh, you're a little faith. All you had to do was just go out there and speak the word. You could have just simply said, the master is asleep. We ain't go. Leave. You didn't even have to know how to rebuke it. There's a lot of things right now we're dealing with, and you calling on the Lord, and the Lord wants you to do it, want us to do it. But you must remember, Satan's devices need to be exposed. And God gave me another revelation. Sin came from Lucifer. That ain't nothing God had. That's something Lucifer did. And all through the years, Lucifer been getting people to preach about his message. His message is sin. That ain't God's message. So as long as Satan can continue to get you preaching about sin, he got you right where he wants you at. But the moment you start preaching about God's righteousness and what all you have in that righteousness, you're at a whole different level now. See, Satan wants you to believe you're going to heaven. He would love for you to do that, love for you to think that. You know why? There's a couple of things going on here, brothers and sisters, and then we're going to get into some scriptures. You got to know, man, Satan is a deceiver. He is a liar. So whatever comes out of his mouth is a liar. And he'll never, one of his greatest weapons he has is that he can He's counterfeit anything. You'll never know him in his raw form. He pulls a lot of Houdinis, a lot of them. Then he can even appear as Christ. Now, oh, where you get that from? Well, I'm going to show you that in the Bible, man. So it's not a real big thing that he wants to act like Christ. He got apostles, which are really demons, act like Christ. So, and it's not a secret thing. And then again, I want to talk about the gospel that we really need to be preaching. Then the other thing I think we want to hit on today is that you have choices. You choose this day. If God's going to be God, then serve him. And if Baal's going to be Baal, then serve him. Listen, brothers and sisters, the devil wants us to preach his gospel. His gospel is sin. Now, the Holy Ghost has to give it to you. But if you're getting that book, I guarantee you, he'll show it to you. Now, that, from me to you, is a gift. If you get in there, he's going to show you the difference in the gospels. Because Satan wants everybody preaching about sin. God ain't told us to preach about no sin. That's a lie. But it's shocking news because you never heard it before. See? So, let's get into first the scriptures that we want to read. Want to be Revelation 12. Hallelujah. Because these are one of our foundational scriptures. And it's not going to change, brother and sister, next week. Because I know the Lord wants us to stay right here. Don't know all reason why. But Revelation 12 and verses 9, it reads like this. And the great, well, let me back up first. It says, so you'll know, there's a couple of things we need to deal with. And there was war, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angel and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, yes, sir, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and in his angels were cast out earth. Don't think of dirt, because that's what Satan wants you to do. See, he's a deceiver. So if he can get you to thinking that he was cast out into the dirt, then he can work you. He can work you over a little bit, because your focus is dirt instead of the world. Satan was cast into the world of darkness. That's why he's able to be the prince of the air. So, when we study the subject, such as Satan and his angels, also called demons, let me remind you, we must realize that Satan's best and most unique work is to convince people that he does not exist. That's Satan's, that's his prized weapon right there. That's sort of like his greatest weapon to defeat us is to get us to think he doesn't exist. And he goes through a whole lot of changes to do that, amplify himself. That's what he does. He is a deceiver. Okay. Satan does not exist as the leader of the fallen angel. That's what he wants you to do and think. But Jesus spoke of the devil and his angel and identified them together. Therefore, we should identify them together. The Bible records the used name, its title, original word, power, limitation of Satan and his demons in the very beginning of history. Man, we see Satan in defense of God and in harassment of man. But in the end, Satan shall be utterly destroyed. So, with that being said, the subject of Satan and the fallen angel is a subject that the scripture teaches. And for whatever reason, man refused to go into that, expose him. But we're going to expose him, and we're not going to expose people. We're going to expose Satan. And therein lies the difference. If Satan can get you, himself, get us to thinking that he is, that problem is me, not him, just like in an argument, usually two people is arguing and debating, oh, it's that person, it's not me, it's you. Oh, it's not me, it's you. And so that's what he does. He hides behind. And most important, and this is going to be a nugget for years, Satan is over words, brothers and sisters. He's over words. Well, what does that mean? That means that he can control words. And so when he put thoughts to you, he put words to you and get you to understand it, comprehend it, and then you verbalize that into the atmosphere. That's why you see a lot of wise people that keep their tongue. He that keepeth his tongue keepeth his life. That's why Jesus said, the words I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, what that means? That means Satan speak words, but they're not spirit and they're not life. They're not of him. So Satan appears to our intellect. He appears to our intellect. Because that way you can debate and you can argue, for a better way of saying it. Because he appears to your intellect. That's one of the things. Him and his fallen angels. And he became more aggressive after man sinned. So God told him over in Genesis 3 and 15, the battle had started. It began. Christ and Satan started back in Genesis 3:15, continue even unto this very day. To know the truth will make you free. John 8:32. You want to know truth so you can always be free. But first of all, you're going to be free from Lucifer. You're going to be free from Satan. You're going to be free from all of those names. You're going to be free from that. And that's important because that's what you want to be. Because the Bible says this. He wants you to know the truth. We must be aware of all truths of God. Excuse me. So he said, neither know, well, let me go back, because I'm going to read this scripture first. What a statement I made. We must be aware of the truth of God, knowing that Jesus himself is his grace for saves us and get us from under the power of Satan. Be knowing the truth concerning Satan. And here it is. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, he is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for you. Satan is on the warpath. He's looking for us. That's what he wants to do. Satan was a created being. Satan was created as the greatest of all the angels and the angelic hosts. In Ezekiel 28:15, he was given the heaven's idol, Lucifer, son of the morning, which is symbolic of his in heaven. Through Isaiah now, God addressed him by his heavenly title, Lucifer. In Ezekiel, God addressed him by his earthly title, which is King of Tyrus, symbolizing the lower depth of morality. These titles express the highest of all creative power, and the Lord, or the depth, the pride is as of Tyre. And in Ezekiel 28:12-15, God goes on record as saying, beyond the king of Tyre to speak to Satan. God indirectly addressed Satan in Genesis 3:14-15. And also in Matthew 16:23. Also in Isaiah 14:12. No person could possibly be referred to in either Isaiah or Ezekiel. So, Satan was Lucifer, son of the morning. Lucifer means day star, light bearer. Isaiah 14:12. He was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And he had been in Eden, the garden of God, and was told, thou art the anointed cherubim and covet. Ezekiel 28:12-15. Maybe I just need to read all of that, because I want everybody to have a great knowledge of what's really going on. God wants you to have this knowledge as well. So, let me, God, bear with me here. Well, you know, I think the first scripture I'm going to is Ezekiel 28, and for your hearing, Ezekiel, did I lose my spot that quick? Yeah, bear with me here for a moment. Okay, Ezekiel 12 and verse think I said 28. But in verse Ezekiel 12, and I mean 28 and 15, that's where I want to go first. This thing clicked it down over. So that's where I'm going. We're going to Ezekiel 28 and 15. Ezekiel 28 and 15. Hallelujah. They're really a lie. And the 15th verse. And eventually I'm going to read from the 9th through about the 19th. But let me do the 15th first so you'll get my point. Thou was perfect in the ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Now, for those that may not know it, Satan was perfect in when he was created. And because he had power over words, he created iniquity. And he ain't stopped, brothers and sisters. That's why he got a lot of preachers now preaching sin. That ain't God's message. That's Satan's message. God ain't preaching about sin. He let Jesus become the sacrifice. And Satan wants you to think that that's God's message, and it's not God's message. It's not God's message at all. This is something I normally don't do, but I want to play a little of this song here because you need to know this ain't no ordinary worship here, and this ain't no ordinary song.
So I forgive him all I have to give to him. Come on, let me say, this ain't no ordinary world.
All you want to do is make us free. And people have to see that in this in the Word of God, that God wants you to be free from everything pertaining to Satan. I want to point out a few other things, brothers and sisters. Satan became the prince of the air. Satan became the god of this world. So when you look at this world, what do you really see? You see churches. What are these churches teaching? They're teaching about sin. You don't need to know about sin. Christ already took care of the sin problem. We need to know about righteousness. We need to know about the same message that Christ preached. That's the gospel we need to be preaching. Oh, I'm preaching that gospel. How you know? Because Satan is the deceiver. You can't say, oh, this is that. No, Satan camouflages himself. He comes in a many forms. A lot of people think they, because I used to think I was preaching the gospel. Until God showed me, oh, I wasn't preaching the gospel, not the gospel that Christ preached. Christ's gospel was about the kingdom of God. How I know that? Well, that's what we're going to look at right quick. In Mark 1, I'm going to do Mark 1 and verses 15, but we're going to back up and get 14 first. All right, because I want y'all to hear all of this. This is the gospel that Christ preached. You say you are Christ, you want to preach his gospel. And like I said, we're going to cover some other stuff, but the Lord put this in my spirit. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, here's what he said, the time is fulfilled. See, it's been fulfilled now. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. He ain't coming talking about repent from sin. That ain't what he told them. The gospel that Christ preached, because he knew he was the ultimate sacrifice. He was that sin offering. So you didn't have to deal with no sin. What he wanted us to understand and see, brothers and sisters, is that the kingdom of God is what we ought to be preaching every day, all day. And the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. The righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. So we simply mean turn away from all religious, turn away from the world system, repent. That's turn away from that world system. Everything, Pharisees, Sadducees, all of it. Turn away from it. And receive the kingdom of God. Same thing John preached. But John can go up there in the temple and preach this. That's why he had to go out there in the wilderness right outside the city limit and began to preach, make way. Yeah, he was telling them about the kingdom of God who was getting ready to happen right before their eyes. The Messiah has been born. And he's the one that's going to guide us and lead us and direct us. And people still trying to hold on like they do today to a bunch of old religious stuff. Since Satan's message. Satan's message is about sin. You catch people, they all don't want to talk about sin. They're working for Satan. They're working for Satan. Because, see, you have to understand Satan's message. He created sin. Satan did that. God didn't do that. Because he's a liar. Satan is such a liar, and he's the father of it. John 8:44. He is the Father of lies. See, that's what happened when he was in heaven as Lucifer. He had created iniquity. So he had to leave. He had to go. They weren't going to stay up in there. Sin had no place in heaven. So Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and kicked him out. And he no longer had a place there. So being in the earth, and seeing people think of earth, they think of the dirt. Listen, brothers and sisters, let us not be ignorant, okay? He is of the world. That's what Satan is. He is the God of this world. Now be mindful of that. Be mindful that every time you look around, he's bombarding us with all kind of suggestions and thoughts, because he can appeal to your conscience. See, when I was telling somebody the other day how great Satan was, they're like, oh, well, see, he wants to blind you. He wants to blind me. He wants to keep us blind because he has the power to do that. That's how great he is. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, if our gospel be hidden, it hidden to them that are lost, and the God of this world have blinded their mind. Now here's one for you. Most preachers in these organized churches, they want to preach about getting you saved. But they got to tell you all about your sin and everything. And then they said, that's the gospel, because they tell you everything you done did in sin, and that's what you need to repent from. That ain't what you need to repent from. That would be a lie. Just another trick of Satan. Because if he could, see, his whole idea was to sit on the congregation of God. Got to know that, man. That was his purpose. When he failed, he said, I will exalt my throne above God's stars of God. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to sit upon the mount of the congregation. That's what he wanted to do. And please let me remind you guys, I'm not talking about how good Satan is, but I'm exposing him just like the Word of God do. And you don't have to run from it. You can expose him. You don't have to not talk about him. Lady the other day talking about, God's silent prayer. Where's that at? Where's that at? Satan does that kind of stuff because he was over the words. He was over languages, all of them. Yeah. Oh, Pastor, where you get that? Well, do your research. If he's the God of this world now, and the whole world have been deceived by him, that's every language. Revelation 12:9. Oh, it's there, honey. It's there. You may not want to receive it. I mean, for a long time, I wanted to fight this stuff. God said, they're just spinning their wheels. They're going in a circle after circle. They don't want my love. They don't want me. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. He said, they are ignorant of my righteousness, and they go about to establish their own righteousness. So what Satan does, he gets people's minds rolling and twisting and turning, and they think that they got new revelation, or they think they're doing something, and they think they're praying to God, and they ain't praying to God. But how you know? Because you go back to the scripture and pray like Jesus prayed. Do the stuff Jesus do. And you won't be in error, brothers and sisters. But the Bible says Satan is crafty. He's very crafty. If he can deceive the whole world, who are you to separate yourself and say, oh, I'm not of that God. You ain't talking about me. Yes, he is. The whole world. You didn't escape. And Satan been doing this stuff a whole lot longer than we have. He been out here way over 6,000 years spreading his mess. Anyway, over in Isaiah 14:13-14, it gives the details. And notice what he did, it was words. It was stuff was in him, in his spirit. He says, I will. See, we all have a will. And this time we talked on the other day, I don't know if it was Friday or when, but the power to choose is awesome. Just as awesome, it can be devastating to know that you choose the wrong words. You choose the wrong person. Having that choice, God made us all our own master and free agent. Even though we left Eden, man, that would be good to teach on, about Eden. For we had it all together in Eden. But now we came here, we have to find our way back. And you have to do that through Christ. Because Satan got this stuff. When Adam turned it over, he turned over all the power to the earth, the world, because he was over there. And but there's points that we made this week. I just want to make sure everybody on the same page. We're not glorifying Satan. Let me continue to say that. Let me continue to say that. But when I tell you he is the prince of this world, look no further than John 12:31. When I tell you that he is the prince of the air, do your research, see what he's talking about. I thank God the other day we were talking about the definition for great, mighty, huge, big, and I think it was evangelist. Maryland, she gave a definition for it out of the Greek Bible. Not she gave the Greek word, she gave the Greek definition. But in the Hebrew, not the Greek, it was the Hebrew she gave. But the root word, brothers and sisters, not only is it huge and it's mighty and it's powerful, you have authority with it. See, some people don't think Satan got authority. Oh, yeah, he's big. Yeah, of course he's big. He's great. He's over the world, man. When Adam gave him that power, it's when he became great. But he was great before he got the power from Adam. That's what people don't want to talk about. That was part of his ministry. And when you go back and check these scriptures, you'll see God had created pipes in him. God had created wisdom and knowledge in him, that he had the ability to change words. He could go in and out of crystals and diamonds and man. He was in the garden, man, in God's garden, people. Everybody wasn't there. Every spirit wasn't there. He sat on the mount of the mountain with the other cherubim angels. I'm not glorifying him. I want you to know he had these powers. And those same powers, when he got kicked out, nowhere is mentioned in scripture, God took them from him. He lost his position in heaven, but some of that same power to deceive people, he had it. Well, he said, preacher, how do you know that? Because he had power over words. He can articulate things right now and suggest to you. And if you're speaking, you're speaking on his behalf. So that's why he's able to have preachers, apostles. Don't make me go there. He's able to have his own apostles. Matter of fact, if the Lord let me, if it be pleasing to the Father to do this, next week we're going to talk about, because this subject ain't going nowhere, because the Bible warned us against false apostles and false ministers. You might want to check your own self. Because the Bible says over in 2 Corinthians 11, let me tell you, people that don't want to really get into scriptures, they don't want truth. They content with what they got. They satisfied. But see, I want to do John 8:32. I want to know the truth, and the truth shall set me free. It's going to make you free. You can no longer stay there. But the Bible says, that's what Paul said. If someone comes to you preaching another gospel, meaning there are other gospels, and people teaching and living man's doctrine, which Satan had so much to do with that. But anyway, over in 2 Corinthians 11, and we're going to start with the 12th verse. And this is probably where we'll probably camp out next week because there's so much to unpack here. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasionally, that whether they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles. Underline that. False apostles. Well, what that means? How are you going to know the difference? I mean, how are you going to determine what you're going to use as a guideline, as a measuring stuff? What, because they got a lot of money? Because they don't have money? Because they're saying something you've never heard? What's going to determine them that they're false prophets? Well, we're going to get into that. And false apostles. The Bible says they deceitful workers. That ought to give you a hint right there. They're workers. So they will act like Christ acts. Oh, they can't do that. You're lying. Read the Bible. Because that's what he says. And you're going to hear it. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Brothers and sisters, this ain't no cartoon here. This is real talk. This is real stuff. They're transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So what do Christ's apostles look like to you? Huh? Think about it. What in your way that Christ's apostles look like? Or do you know? Or is that something we need to study? Do we need more light on that? You know why? Because that next verse says this. Don't marvel at this. Don't laugh at that. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Can you imagine? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. They transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, not ministers that don't do nothing, not ministers of sin. They walk around here like they sinners. They're not walking around here like they don't have right. No, they appear themselves to be righteous. Minister of righteousness is somebody don't cheat. What we call righteousness, somebody got a family, a nice home, doing what we call the right thing. You know, we line them up, align them. The ministers of righteousness. Then get into the depth of that and find out what you're really dealing with. Why they're doing what they're doing. Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome, brothers and sisters. That's for those that want to go on this journey. You may not want to go on this journey. You may like where you're at. You may like being under the control of Satan and Lucifer and Satan and the devil, and you don't know that you are under that old serpent way of thinking. You want to be free. You want to be in Christ. You want to be part of this new thing. And it's no past. It's no old. It's new. See, it never became new then. Oh, it's new. The old things are passed away. They're not there anymore. If it's a covenant, Christ got a new covenant. See, this is the stuff that's going to propel us to have our eternal life. But anyway, anyone have anything they want to share or any comments? I'm trying to see if I can. And if not, we're going to see you all on tomorrow.